It's good for us to have the opportunity to come together today to worship God and to enjoy a time together as God's people. I'm going to look this morning at 1 Chronicles chapter 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 10 from the Old Testament. It is the sad ending of King Saul of Israel, which we'll talk about some during the lesson this morning. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 13, excuse me, 1 Chronicles 10 verse 13 says, "So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him, turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse." Well, Saul was a man that was, he started out very well. He was chosen from God to be the first king of the people of Israel, over the kingdom of Israel. And even though Samuel the prophet had warned the people against having a king, that God should be their king, their ruler, they wanted a king to be, as they said, like all the nations around. They wanted to be like everybody else. And so God consented against his will to give them a king. And so God chose the best man that could have been chosen for that particular work. And in 1 Samuel chapter 10, and 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 22. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "Therefore he inquired of the Lord further, has the man come here yet? And the Lord answered, he is, there he is, hidden among the equipment." So even when Samuel was searching for the man that God told him to anoint to be king over Israel, Saul was a very humble man. He didn't come out among the people, but he had to go find him. Verse 23, "So they ran and brought him from there, and when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from the shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, 'Do you see him who the Lord has chosen? That there is no one like him among all the people.' So all the people shouted and said, 'Long live the king!' Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him whose hearts God had touched." And so we find then God chose Saul to be the king over the people of Israel. When he started, he was faithful to God. He even prophesied among the prophets of Israel at the time. He led Israel's army to many different victories over their enemies on many occasions. He followed God's word. He followed God's commands. And also, of course, he was faithful to God. He took the advice and the prophecy and teaching of Samuel the prophet. But after some time, he let his position come upon him. He began to think of himself as more powerful and greater than he was. He was built up in his own false pride. And God chose him because of his humility originally. He began to be built up in his false pride because of the wealth and power and fame and everything that he had. It caused him to turn against God and against David, who was one of his most important servants. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And that describes King Saul right there. That's exactly what happened to him. And so we continue to go farther and farther away from God. And that's where we get to the point where we read there in 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 13. "So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Saul died for his unfaithfulness. He died because he committed a sin against the Lord. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, he refused to go to the prophets and ask about what God said to him. He went to a medium, a soothsayer, someone who claimed to be able to talk to the dead. And you read that particular passage when this happened. He went to this woman who claimed to have those powers. And as Saul was at her house, she called up Samuel. And to her consternation and surprise, Samuel actually came up and then spoke to them and said, "Saul, why are you calling me back from the dead?" And he says, "God is going to destroy you because of this." And so he did not seek God's will, but he sought one who was a soothsayer, a medium, one that claimed to talk to the dead, which was expressly forbidden in the law of Moses. And so he didn't kill the Amalekites as God told him to do. God had told Saul to go, and you take your army, you destroy the Amalekites. You kill all of them. Kill their livestock, everything that has to do with the Amalekites, you destroy them. And so he was going to do the battle. God gave him a great victory over the Amalekites, but he kept back some of the things, some of the best animals as a sacrifice. He brought back the king of the Amalekites with him and put him on display. You turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And in a sense, this was the dividing point of Saul as the great king to what he became or what he degenerated into later. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 10. It says there, "Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, 'I greatly regret that I have set Saul up as king, for he turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night.'" Samuel the prophet loved King Saul. He brought him up. He taught him. He showed him the way. He gave him advice. He gave him the word of the Lord. And yet Saul more and more went farther and farther away from God. Well, skip down 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 16. It says, "So Samuel then said to Saul, 'Be quiet. I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night.' And he said to him, 'Speak on.'" So Saul was going to listen to what he had to say because he had not obeyed the word of God. God told him to completely destroy the Amalekites, destroy all of them, everything about them. And you look at verse 15, he says, "They have brought with them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest have utterly destroyed." So Saul claimed that he was the one that had done the will of God, because then Samuel confronted him. And in verse 17 says, "So Samuel said, 'When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go utterly and destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.'" God said, destroy them completely. Verse 19, "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." Well, we know he didn't. He didn't do what Samuel or God told him to do. He says, "And gone on the mission which the Lord sent me, and I have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But," he says, "the people took the plunder of sheep and oxen and the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed and sacrifice to God in Gilgal." Saul thought, "Well, I can do better than what God said. I can bring back the best animals to sacrifice. I can bring back the king as an example of my power over him, and then show the people how great I am as King Saul. But notice what, and he says, I've done what God told me to do. But notice what Samuel's response was. 1 Samuel 15:22. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Now that had to cut to the heart of King Saul. He knew in his heart he had not obeyed God. He had not done what God told him to do. He had not finished the job in killing everything that God told him to do. And he brought back something and thought he could improve upon God's will. We look in our world today and we see a lot of people think that, okay, I don't really want to do what the Bible says because I think I can improve upon that. They may not say that in their mind, but that's what really the motivation is. We can do better than what God says. Well, Saul thought he could do better than what God said also. He ended up turning completely away from God, even to the point where he tried to kill David on several occasions. On one occasion, of course, in 1 Samuel chapter 22, Paul killed 85 priests, loyal priests of God, because they had helped David as he was trying to get away from Saul. He had them killed right there where they were in the town of Doeg. He destroyed 85 faithful priests of God. Did Saul do that? What was their crime? They had simply helped David as he was trying to escape from Saul and from Saul's wrath and trying to keep from being killed by King Saul. Saul had them killed because they helped David, his enemy. And it shows how evil, how degraded Saul had now become. Now we look at that and we might think, well, you know, I'll never get to that point that I would turn away from God like that. But we don't know. The Bible tells us in one place that wicked people will get worse and worse. And that's the way it goes. If we don't go back to God, come back and repent when we sin, and we just keep going, our sin is simply going to get worse all of the time. It may start out with just something very small, but over a period of time, as with Saul, it did get worse. But he did not keep the word of the Lord, but he consulted with a medium, a witch, whatever you want to call her. 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 13. And one who claimed to be able to talk to the dead, and by doing that, foretell the future and also to figure out what God's will was and what was going to happen to the people. And there's people today that claim the same kind of thing. You go back to 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Now bear in mind that God in the law of Moses told him very specifically that you shall not do the thing which Saul was going to be doing. And 1 Samuel 28, verse 4, says, "Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and so they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw that the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. So instead of standing up as the king of Israel with God on his side, he was afraid of the Philistines. And he says there, in verse 6, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets." In other words, before, when Saul inquired of God, God spoke to him either directly or through the prophets or some other way. This time God ignored him. Verse 7, "And Saul said to his servants, 'Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her.' And his servants said to him, 'In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor.' So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went with two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, "Please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me the one that I shall name to you." Then the woman said to him, "Look, you know what Saul has done, and how he has cut off all the mediums and the spiritists from the land, and then you lay down and snare for my life to cause me to die." So she knew what was going on in the land. And it says in verse 10, "And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, 'As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing.'" And so I'm not going to read the rest of it. You can read it. But she was the most surprised person in the room, with Saul and the three who were with him and herself, that when she called Samuel up from the dead, he actually came. In fact, she was terrified when she saw this, showing that all the time she was claiming to be able to do those things, obviously she was not. But God allowed it to happen this time because God wanted Saul to understand that he knew what was going on, and that through Samuel, even though he was already dead, God spoke through him to Saul. And of course, he consulted the medium, the witch at Endor. And the pagan practice, of course, was condemned. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse 18, he says they would be stoned to death, those who consulted people like this. In Isaiah 47, Isaiah talks about those who consult soothsayers and mediums and other things like that. And those who practice astrology and other things that came from Babylon. He says, "I will destroy you if you do those things." And so Saul did that. So again, you see how he began and how he ended up. He didn't start that way. He was king over Israel for 40 years. So it took him a good while to get to the point where he was so degraded in his life, his mind and his heart, that he was going to be destroyed. What should Saul have done? He should follow, for example, the idea of Daniel. Turn over to Daniel chapter 9. Now, Daniel did live quite a few years after Saul, but the principle goes all the way through the Bible. And in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel was in Babylonian captivity. He was one of the Jews who were taken into captivity, not because he had rejected God. He was still faithful to God. And yet there were some faithful ones who were taken. In Daniel chapter 9, and beginning at verse 1, it says, "In the first year of Darius, the sons of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books of the number of years, specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments." And he goes on to explain how we as Israel had sinned. And he's praying to God. Daniel was reading. Where was he reading? He was reading from the prophet Jeremiah. He says, this is what God said through Jeremiah. It's almost 70 years since we've been here. So the time is getting close. And Daniel, so I began to pray and to confess my sins and the sins of our people Israel before God. Well, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but look down now in verse 20. As Daniel is praying and beseeching God to remember his people still in captivity, it says in verse 20, "Now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, before the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel." Gabriel is an archangel, one that stands constantly in the presence of God. the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. So the evening offering, a prayer and supplication to God, was upon him. Verse 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. So he goes on to explain the vision of 70 weeks, which Daniel was given from God. But the point is, what was Daniel doing? He wasn't consulting a medium or a soothsayer or one of those things. He was praying to God for strength and understanding that God will fulfill his promise that he made through Jeremiah the prophet 70 years before. And now we find the angel Gabriel, the archangel, was sent directly to Daniel. Daniel was a prophet of God. He was in Babylonian captivity. Although he rose greatly through the ranks of the people because he was one who gave advice to the king himself. He, in fact, by the time of the writing of Daniel chapter 9, he was second or third only to the king of Babylon first and then the king of Persia afterward. That's how powerful Daniel had become, even though technically he was still a slave. And so he was one of the rulers of Babylon, and yet he consulted what God said. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives another idea there. Matthew 7, Jesus, of course, is speaking there in chapter 7 and verse 17. He says, even so, every good tree that bears good fruit, but the bad bears evil fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Now, Saul should have known that, and all these others should have known that also. But to give them an understanding, and Jesus said, if you hear my word and you don't do it, you're going to be cast out. You're not going to receive the things that I want you to have. And the same principle applies to us as it did to Saul in his day and others during those other times. But Saul did not inquire of the Lord through faith and prayer and the prophets of Israel. And so God destroyed him because of that. But look at what others have said about it. And in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Saul didn't do that. Saul wanted something better. He thought he could do a better time and a better job. You turn over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And of course, Isaiah the prophet's the one speaking there. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now that was under the law of Moses, a law that was not nearly the great thing that we have today. And even there, he says, if you'll truly turn back to God, God will forgive. God will bless you and give you eternal life. And he told that to them as well as for us today. Saul had one of the greatest prophets of all, Samuel, right there with him for almost his whole time as king over Israel. And there are many other great prophets during this time of Israel also. But Saul became so built up in his false pride. in his anger against David, his anger against others who did not go along with the things he said and did. And yet, Saul could have been forgiven. He could have passed on the crown to his son, but he was not allowed to do that because when he sinned, God took the kingdom away from him. We turn over to the book of Hosea. In Hosea, the writer there, he's talking about the fact that the people of Israel had turned away from the word of God. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, "Now let no man contend nor rebuke one another, for your people are like those who contend with a priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest, being priest from me, because you have forgotten the law of your God, and I also will forget your children." Now, that's exactly what God did to the people of Israel, who rejected God, rejected his law, and turned away from him. He says, "I'm going to cast you out. You're going to be destroyed." Now, first, the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, after the division of the two, they were taken into captivity in Assyria, and they never returned. The southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, they were taken into Babylonian captivity, and only a remnant of them returned also after 70 years of captivity. But God always wanted his people to follow his will. And Jesus, of course, himself discusses that over and over again. You turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus, of course, in Matthew chapter 7, and part of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says in Matthew chapter 7, and you look there at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. He says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Now that's what God wants us to do, ask and seek and knock, to follow his will every day we live. And he's promised that if we do that, he's going to bless us every day in life. Saul could have had those blessings, but God cast him out because he rejected God. God killed Saul, as it says there in 1 Chronicles. And the result, of course, was because he rejected the will of God. Saul did not act for himself in the way that God wanted, and so God allowed him to be destroyed. In fact, Saul even killed himself when he saw the battle was lost. He was afraid that he could be captured and put to death by the Philistines, so he fell on his own sword. He even committed suicide. And because he was not willing to turn back to God, any time of his life, Saul could have done that and repented, and God would have blessed him. But he didn't. Well, the point for you and me is, what does that mean to us? It means we have to be faithful to God all of our life. Don't follow the example of Saul. Don't go away from God little by little, because ultimately we'll be totally away from God if we do that. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus said on that day, he said, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." As long as we live, we're to be faithful to God. And if we're called upon to give our life for the cause of Christ, be willing to do so. Now, sometimes we think, well, we'd never have to do that, but we don't know. You don't know whether we'll have to give our life for the cause of Christ someday. It may be. But he says, "Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." Now, we have to keep God's word by faith and obedience to him. In James chapter 1, James talked about the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful hearer, the one who does the work of God. He says he will be blessed in his doing. And God promises that to you and me. We cannot follow after man's teachings and man's ways and be pleasing to God. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, Ezra was after Daniel. And he is the one that led the people of Israel back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and rebuild their land. And he told them over and over again, you have to follow God. You cannot go back to idolatry. You have to be faithful. And also we have to study and learn. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, chapter 2, Paul told Timothy to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we do that and we remain faithful, God's going to bless us. But to start with, we have to hear Him. We have to believe Him. We have to be willing to repent of our sins and confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And in doing so, we're buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Colossians 2:12 says we're buried with Him in baptism and raised through the working of God. God works in our life to forgive our sins and give us the promise of eternal life. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you do so as together we stand as we sing.